Maybe sometimes when we see false teaching or distortion of the truth, we might say to ourselves, oh, it's not too bad. Or it's not that dangerous. It's not savage. It's not going to lead the flock into destruction, is it? It's a real danger. God has provided from the time of Adam to the time of Zechariah and still to the church today. Today, God still calls shepherds to serve in his flock. And those shepherds do well to recognize they are there to guard God's flock. Keep watch and watch out for the flock.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with Rock Solid Hope in Rim Country, April 22nd, 2018. This message is taken from Acts 20, verses 28 to 32.
It was about 10 years ago that I planted a small garden. It wasn't very much, it was just maybe 12 feet by 12 feet. But you'd be surprised, after working the ground and after putting up a secure fence and watering, how much I was able to grow and how many weeds you could grow in there. And I was able to also grow some vegetables, some tomatoes, beans, peas, lettuce, juicy and delicious. But I knew you had to keep that garden safe, keep tending to it, watering it, pulling the weeds so it would survive, and also putting up that fence because we had a resident woodchuck that took up its home underneath our deck. I could see what that woodchuck was thinking. And I knew the garden needed to be kept safe, kept secure. But it was hard because at the end of the summer, I actually had to leave that place that we were renting and wouldn't be able to enjoy the rest of the garden. It's hard to leave something behind that you've worked on and that you know faces danger. So I entrusted to our neighbors, I said, it's yours if you want to keep the weeds down and you want to, oh, and don't forget to close that gate. I've seen that woodchuck, and I see him eyeing up that fence, and I think he's plotting something. But I left it to them. Imagine how hard it was for the Apostle Paul as he's leaving behind the church in Ephesus, one which he's been at for many years, and through sweat and through tears has produced a crop, a fruit. And the flock that's there, he's now saying goodbye to them. And he knows there are dangers which that church will be facing. But what is God's solution for the dangers which his flock would be up against? Paul knows God's solution, and he commits them to it as he says farewell. And we see how the good news of Jesus advances as God gives you faithful shepherds. See, Paul had certainly come to know the people at Ephesus. It had been the longest place he stayed at in all of his travels. Over 2 years and 3 months, he taught with them day and night. He stayed up to the late hours of the night. He fended off people who were trying to even take his life. And he worked among them, and he planted, he watered with the word of God, and God made things grow. But now Paul, as he's, the year is about 57 AD, as he's traveling back at the end of his third missionary journey, he stops at Miletus, and he's nearby Ephesus. And this time Paul knows, because the Holy Spirit's revealed to him, he's going to Jerusalem to be arrested and imprisoned. So he knows this is his final farewell to the church at Ephesus. And he calls the elders to him in Miletus to speak to them and to give his final goodbye. Well, what's on Paul's mind? What's his primary and foremost concern for the people at Ephesus? He says in Acts 20 here, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You see, his concern is for the dangers that they're going to face after he leaves. Keep watch. And notice that first and foremost, Paul doesn't ignore the fact that they are human beings. He says, keep watch over yourselves. Any shepherd of God's flock, any teacher, any Christian pastor needs to, first of all and foremost, watch their own heart, because they're not a pastor or a teacher in the church simply because they never make a mistake, never stray or misstep. No, they need to watch themselves. Every pastor, every teacher does well to first remember this. But what they're entrusted to is far more weighty than self-preservation. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. Notice that they are entrusted now to care for and oversee the spiritual well-being of all those believers in Ephesus who had come to know the gospel. And as if this wasn't weighty enough, the flock that they're watching is not their own. It wasn't the elders' congregation. It wasn't their church. It is the church of God, he says. God's flock. What God has entrusted them to do is to watch his sheep. Pretty weighty task, isn't it? And as if it couldn't get any more weighty, Paul adds, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. You see, these people in this church were there at a great price. You know, when I worked that garden and ground, it took a little bit of time and effort. Probably spent a few bucks on the seeds. Wasn't that much. You probably know what it's like to invest yourself in a project or a person that you love. Some people spend millions on something, and yet the church of God, it says he bought it with his own blood. The price that God put on his flock is shedding his own blood for them, his life. The price that God puts on you as part of his flock is very precious and without price. God gave his life in order that his flock might be secure. And then he says to those who are to watch over it, be shepherds, keep watch. And those who were serving in God's church had to keep in mind, they weren't there because of their wisdom or because they appointed themselves. No, the Holy Spirit, Paul says, has made you overseers. Paul himself, yes, did appoint those elders before he left Ephesus. But he's reminding them the weighty task of shepherding the church of God, which was bought with his blood, is something the Holy Spirit has given them. This divine call they needed to recognize to serve God's church was from God himself. Jesus, who said to Peter, feed my lambs, now speaks through Paul, who says, shepherd the flock. God has called them to watch over and to guard and to feed his church, his flock. Quite a task. Well, why is Paul so concerned here about the church at Ephesus? Why is he saying this weighty task is on them, and why is he making this such a big deal? Well, Paul knows what's coming. See, I knew when I planted that little garden that the weeds would come. And I knew when I left they would keep coming and come back. And I knew that if that door was open for just one night, I'm sure that woodchuck would have eaten every single inch of the vegetables in that garden. The Apostle Paul knew what was going to happen when he left. He says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Paul is certain, and he knows there's danger for the flock. And yes, Paul has faced danger. If you recall the time where he spent in Ephesus, he was persecuted. He faced trouble for his own life, and that's why he's meeting in Miletus. He can't even make it back to the city without being imprisoned and thrown in jail. Paul knows of the persecution, which we spoke of the last 2 weeks, that the church faces. But the danger he's speaking of is even greater. It's the same danger that our Lord warns us of when he says, watch out for false teachers who come like wolves in sheep's clothing. The danger, he says, is they will come in among you. From among your own number, men will arise. See, the greater danger quite often that the Christian flock faces is not the persecution from without. It is the false teaching from within, which Paul warns of. He says they will come and distort the truth. See, good shepherds, they'll use the word of God. And pastors, keep this in mind, that they use the word of God to feed the flock. False teachers will use their words to mislead the flock. And good pastors, good faithful shepherds, will lead the flock to see Jesus, the good shepherd, and lead them to follow him. False shepherds, savage wolves, will lead them, it says, to follow after themselves. That is, they'll point not to Christ, but to self. In all this, they distort the truth. There's the real danger. And Paul says, keep watch, be on your guard. Is this how we speak of Paul's teaching? Savage wolves? Is Paul maybe being a little bit overdramatic here as he describes the dangers they're facing? No. The danger is false teaching can pull them away from the flock of God and harm their souls. We see this as Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. As he's later on in prison, he continues to warn them of dangers. One false teaching that often comes on the church is this idea that there's something that takes away from the grace of God. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 regarding our condition. And he says in Ephesians chapter 2, you were dead in your sins. Now imagine if you had an undertaker, and the undertaker's solution for you was not to deal with the funeral and go forward, but simply to say, hey, this person has no problem. They just need to choose to be alive again. They just need to say, I want to be alive, and they'll be fine. Then we can forego any funeral. There's no problem here. We'd say, ridiculous, right? Foolishness. Death is a problem. Sin is a problem. And so Paul speaks about sin as a real problem. He says, you were dead in your sins, following the rule of the kingdom of this air. See, that the condition that we are in is not some mere fault of something that we can climb out of. It is spiritual death. It is the inability to escape sin. Paul warned against those who said in any way they contributed to salvation, or that they would do something to escape the dangers of death and the devil. Paul says very clearly, it is by grace, as he writes to the Ephesians, it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is a gift of God. No one's going to boast in God's flock or his kingdom. One false teaching, yes, is distorting grace and adding on to it that there's something we must do when we are helpless. But Paul knew there was another false teaching which would hit the church at Ephesus. He writes in chapter 5, as he says to them, among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of greed or any impurity, for these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk. Let no one deceive you with empty words, distorting the truth. For because of such things God's wrath comes. Do not be partners with those who do these things. Expose, he says, the darkness. Wake up and look at the light. He says, live as children of the light. Be careful how you live. Yes, we are saved by grace. But another false teaching is to distort the law of God and thereby diminish grace, and to say that sin is not really a problem. You know, imagine if you had a chief of police in your town that was on your side. You got caught speeding, but he said, it's okay, buddy, I'll let you go. No fine. And every violation you ever had, he let you get by with it, get away with it. Wouldn't you say that? That's great, right? That's very good. I can do whatever I want now. Until you begin to realize he does this for everybody in the town. And so he allows the intoxicated to drive drunk down the road. He allows those who commit murder to go forward unreprimanded. He never commits any rebuke, never gives any fine, and lawlessness takes over. Suddenly you realize what's missing, the warning, the rebuke, the danger of sin. It's the same with the church of God. Some will say, well, it's okay simply to ignore the dangers of sin and to speak only fundamentally of love, and so forego rebuke, correction, and speaking the law of God. And the dangers of turning aside from grace in back into the depravity and darkness of sin and away from the flock. See, these false teachers, whether they're distorting grace or distorting God's law, would distort the truth. And he says, would destroy the flock, would not spare them. We see the same today, don't we? Those who would seek to diminish in some way the teaching of grace, or those who would seek to diminish in some way the full force of the dangers of the law of God and the sin that we have committed and what it brings us. So Paul says, be on your guard. Maybe sometimes when we see false teaching or distortion of the truth, we might say to ourselves, oh, it's not too bad. Or it's not that dangerous. It's not savage. It's not going to lead the flock into destruction, is it? But this is what Paul says to the shepherds. Keep watch. Be on your guard. Speak of false teaching and watch out for the flock. That's what Jesus says to his disciples as he tells them, watch out for false teachers. It's a real danger. And if we begin to think that it's not a concern for the flock, and we, like Paul, don't see ourselves deeply concerned about the dangers it presents, then we are in danger. Or if we have a shepherd, and that shepherd is not serious about his calling appointed by God and the Holy Spirit to guard the flock, then we ought to be concerned about the attitude of such a shepherd. What is the flock to do? How is the gospel to advance when this is what it's up against? We see God's solution. The Holy Spirit appointed overseers. It was God who called Paul from darkness to light to bring the gospel to the people at Ephesus. It was God who throughout time and history gave his church shepherds to feed them with his word. Solution for false teachers, solution for attacks from without and from within, the word of God and the gospel of grace, as Paul says, which can build you up and give you an inheritance. Paul does not send these Ephesian elders as shepherds without a hope, but he says, I commit you to the grace of our God. Paul knows God has provided a solution. God has provided for his flock. That's the way God has always done it. He provided for his flock as he brought them the gift of life. There's Jesus dying for his sheep, just as he said. There's Jesus rising again, promising they are forgiven of every sin they ever have committed, every sin they ever will commit, and from the snatches of the devil and every danger. The Good Shepherd. God has provided everything his flock needs. And he continues to provide as he gives his church shepherds who faithfully share that word, and the flock which listen to his voice, the Good Shepherd. God has provided from the time of Adam to the time of Zechariah and still to the church today. Today, God still calls shepherds to serve in his flock. And those shepherds do well to recognize they are there to guard God's flock. And those shepherds also do well to recognize they serve because God has appointed them to feed and to guard and to guide that flock with his word. And we do well to pray for those who serve under the Good Shepherd, that they support and teach the true message and not distort the truth. And we do well to pray that God continues to provide shepherds for his church. God, who has always provided, will continue to provide, so that just like Paul, today's shepherds and you and all God's church can say, along with the Apostle Paul, I commit you to his grace, that you will receive an inheritance from the Good Shepherd. Amen.